The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 4 podcast.
And what a great day. It is St. Patrick's Day, the first day of the tournament. Something tells me bars have been doing a good business. We have two. We are entering the fourth hour of our program. We've mentioned a number of stories. Of course, the big story here, Tennessee wins by 32. Iowa goes down to the Richmond Spiders. Michigan wins in the NCAA tournament after trailing. A lot of games remaining, including a few going on right now. Connor O'Gara joins us from Saturday Down South, writing about this new trend in the SEC of dumping basketball coaches like it was football season. Ben Howland fired today. I've literally lost track of the number of coaches who have been fired. Of course, Mike White left on his own, although there were a few people unhappy. Connor, great to have you on. Thank you very much. Happy St. Patrick's Day to a guy named O'Gara. Have you been out having green beer all day? You dressed like that?
I mean, I wish. I probably should be at this point. I mean, we got the NCAA tournament on. I mean, this is like one of those days that you just kind of hope that your boss is okay with you just not getting anything done whatsoever, because it's like everything just kind of lines up today. But yes, I am wearing little St. Patrick's Day green, watching some NCAA tournament games. I'll crack open a cold one in a little bit here, but the green beer has not been falling in the household yet.
Connor, do you remember that thing about 10 years ago? I can't remember what it was called. It was when all of us were at work, back when people worked at offices, and you were watching or streaming the tournament, and then your boss came along, and you punched a button, and it went to like some spreadsheet. I can't remember what that was called, but I definitely remember that being a big... Right, the boss button. That was the rage back then. Let's talk about the SEC. Another one bites the dust today. Of the SEC coaches fired, most were easy to predict, some a little more difficult. But what is going on here, other than the obvious, that basketball is now taken very seriously?
It is, and I think that's what this comes down to. It's basketball is getting the football standard, and we're seeing coaches – In the SEC, who I think historically speaking probably would have been given more of a pass, but there's more money at stake than ever. And this conference now, with the increased revenue that it gets, I think has the ability to be a heavy hitter when it comes to hiring these coaches and keeping some of these coaches as well. And I thought Hugh Kellenberger brought up a really great point about this. Think about how much Bruce Pearl, Rick Barnes, Eric Musselman, Nate Oates, like think of how much those guys have really changed the conference with those hires. And I think that we're seeing all of these different schools across the SEC realize, man, like we can turn it around in a hurry and there's a lot of money to be made from it. And we're seeing so much turnover this offseason. And, you know, 2018, like there are four SEC basketball coaches who can say that they coached their team in 2018. And in college football on the SEC side, there are only four coaches in the conference who could say that they coached their team during the 2010s decade. I mean, this turnover is, you know, pretty much like what we're seeing in football. And I think it's interesting to see it play out given how much SEC basketball has increased that that fan base. And obviously that sense of urgency is there with a lot of these schools.
Connor O'Gara with us from Saturday Down South. Connor, I want to talk about football in a minute, but we have two more SEC games tonight and three tomorrow. Your expectations of these schools, depending on who you talk to, you can make a path for at least four schools to go very deep, including a few in the Final Four. What are you thinking?
Yeah, watching Tennessee earlier today and not exactly getting into the green beer just yet. I mean, Vols are hot right now. Like, Vols are on a different level. And it was interesting watching Tennessee and Iowa back-to-back because I feel like we're having really conversations about both of those teams, having both won their conference tournament championships, and both were just coming in as like two of the hottest teams in the country. And you see Tennessee was actually able to execute in the half court. They're defending so well. Kennedy Chandler is turning into a star. Like, if, you know, Vescovi is going to get open looks like that, I mean, they're just going to be really, really difficult to beat. So Tennessee has all the makings of a team that can make a really, really deep run. Kentucky, of course, all the DNA that you would want this time of year. It feels like they just don't really have those bad games. Or if they do, it feels like a one-off. I would not be surprised at all to see Kentucky in a national championship. Where it gets interesting, of course, is Auburn. Like, what can we possibly expect from Auburn? I don't expect much. I have tried to turn the corner with Auburn, with this team, tell myself once they figure out how to distribute with their guards, how to not take some of these bad shots, they'll be fine. Auburn hasn't been an NCAA tournament team since February 1st. All right, this isn't the time of year in which you make those adjustments and figure things out on the fly. I'm worried about Auburn. I think Auburn goes out in the second round to USC.
Interesting conversation there. Let's continue with a look at spring football, Connor, because this is underway. I love, we were talking to somebody earlier, Nick Saban has the one practice and goes to spring break. He likes to stretch it out. In terms of intrigue, where are you keeping your eyes on where are they riveted to this spring?
I always love a good quarterback battle in the spring. I mean, I think that's where the intrigue is. And I don't expect a lot of these places to really tip their hand. I don't expect A&M or LSU to come out, Auburn to come out and say that they have a definitive starter. But that's kind of always where I think there's a lot of intrigue. And we watch these spring games and we can see the separation. We're going to see any of these shakeups. You know, May 1st, that deadline to transfer and be able to play at your new school this upcoming year, that is coming up in a hurry, and some guys are going to have to make some really quick decisions. So I'm interested to kind of see the way that plays out with a lot of these quarterback battles. If some guys kind of look around, see the writing on the wall, and we have potentially surprise transfers now with undergrads able to play immediately, with SEC transfers, the intra-conference transfers allowed to happen, I think that we're going to get some of those to just kind of catch us off guard. And we're like, whoa, that guy was only there for maybe a year. I didn't think that he would go. You know, we could see a few of these across the conference, and certainly wouldn't be a surprise. But I think the quarterback battles in the SEC are going to be great to watch, even though it seems like so many SEC teams right now have established quarterbacks that probably could be considered one of the 10 best quarterbacks in all of college football. But being an all-SEC quarterback coming into 2022 is going to be no easy feat.
Connor, we heard earlier this week from Brian Harsin, really for the first time, and he tried to turn the page, but it seems like he will confront this. He'll see it in Destin. He'll certainly see it at SEC Media Days in a couple of months. Your impressions of how he has handled this rather bizarre event, and how long do you think he'll be around Auburn?
Yeah, I think those are two very different questions, right? Like, I think that Brian Harsin has handled this about as well as you could have. I mean, talk about a wild situation to get thrown into when you spent, 21 of the last 25 years of your life in Boise, and all of a sudden you're thrown into the Auburn fire and you're left to figure out, what in the world did I get myself into? And to have all these things said about your personal life, and to have all these people saying that you're going to be out of a job after your first year there, in which, yeah, things went really badly down the stretch, but it wasn't a total dumpster fire. It's just bizarre. And for him to come out on the other end of this, it feels like he's getting that fan support. If you kind of watch the way that fans have really opened up their arms to him in these basketball games, when he's kind of going there, making an appearance, they show him on the big screen, they do all that. And I think some beat writers who really haven't had the best impressions of Brian Harsin, I think getting to kind of see him in person the other day after basically a season of Zoom, I think that they had a new appreciation for him. And to me, that's telling. Now, what does it look like if Auburn goes 4-3 to start? That's a totally different conversation, and there's a very realistic path to that, despite the fact that Auburn has those first five games at home. So I think that Brian Harsin has handled this really, really well. He's got to make a change of quarterback. Like, I know he's got five quarterbacks in that room. If I had my job on the line, I would not want TJ Finley or Zach Calzada to be the one to defend it. I'm sorry. That sounds harsh. I've seen enough of them to think that that's not exactly where I would want to put my future. So I think he needs to go out and get JT Daniels. I've been saying that for a little while, even though JT Daniels apparently has three finalists and Auburn wasn't one of them. I think that's the move that Brian Harsin needs to go out and be willing to make, a la Ed Ogeron in 2018 when he decided to go after Joe Burrow post-spring.
What else is JT Daniels looking at? Or who is he looking at?
JT Daniels. Yeah, taking a visit, reportedly taking a visit this weekend to Mizzou, was at Oregon State last weekend. I know West Virginia is in the mix as well. And look, anybody who's ever spent any time around JT Daniels can tell you, like, this is a guy who is like very aware, very serious about how he's going through this process. At Oregon State, at his visit this past weekend, apparently all these fans were really fired up that he didn't want to do the thing where he poses in uniforms and takes pictures with the coaches or anything. He's like, I want to learn the offense. If you're JT Daniels, you're going into year five. You're in the same class as Justin Fields and Trevor Lawrence. You were that five-star guy too. And you realize that the clock is ticking and you run out of chances. And it's not a good enough excuse to the NFL to be like, well, I was injured for all this time. Sooner or later, you've got to be able to put a full season together. You've got to be able to do it healthy. And I think he's realizing he's got to go to a place that has the right offense, the right surroundings to be able to make that happen and get some of those next level eyes on him.
Connor O'Gara from Saturday Down South, always great to catch up with you. Connor, many, many thanks. We are heading to the break right now. We'll get more of your phone calls here at 855-242-7285. Still about 45 minutes. We'll update you not only on the NCAA bracket, but on the show caller bracket when we come back.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be. Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-hour energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
And we are back. We are a long way from being done tonight. And let's go next to Legend. Hello, Legend.
I'm Coach Feinbaum. What's up, brother?
We are doing great, Legend. Good to hear from you.
Man, I was just walking to prison, y'all, with Handsome Joe, and I heard you was coming in the gate, so I thought I'd check on you. Make sure you're all right.
They finally got me on tax evasion.
I knew they was going to get you sooner or later. Jim said you was a scoundrel.
Well, I made a mistake. He recommended a CPA. I didn't realize the guy didn't have a license.
Yeah, you can't trust Jim. I want Jim to know Jesus loves you, dude. It's just the rest of us that can't stand you. Woo! Hey, Paul, I got a new name.
Oh, let's hear it.
You know what it is? DJ Pimp. That's for my boy DJ Pimp, who I have heard of. My name is DJ Pimp. I come on here to pimp slap some folks. Hey, Paul, I want to pimp slap a couple folks if I could right quick, and I'll get out of your way.
No, you take your time, because I don't think I've I think I've only prison shanked one person all day. That guy from talking about how the SEC was overrated.
Well, you're going to lose your rap. You better get shanking some folks. You done shanked so many folks in your career. You like me. You got to watch every time you turn the corner. Make sure ain't nobody looking at you coming for you.
True.
But the first person that DJ Pimp was a pimp slap is Buzz Williams. That's right, Buzz Williams. We didn't make the tournament. We didn't make the tournament. There was a conspiracy against you. You lost 9 straight games, dude. I agree you should have made the tournament, but there ain't no damn conspiracy against you. Let me let you and the entire fan base and University of Texas A&M know one thing. Nobody in the SEC has 1 ounce of respect for your damn football team or your damn basketball team. Stop your damn crying. Ooh. So, Buzz Williams, if you didn't know it, you just got pimp slapped by DJ Pimp. Now for Augie. That's right, Augie. The walkie-talkie. That's right, the walkie-talkie. Stop coming on here acting like you educated, dude. You ain't no damn lawyer. You ain't no court reporter. You ain't nothing. Listen, the doctor just called with your colonoscopy results. Good news, dude. They just found your head. You just got pimp slapped so hard, dude, that the judge has found you guilty of being a dumbass. Now for that dude that called in talking about the SEC is overrated. Let me tell you something, dumbass. There's one thing the SEC fan base, the SEC coaches, and every football player in the SEC knows, and it's this. The Big Ten has less meat in their pants than a vegetarian restaurant. There ain't nobody cares a damn thing about the Big Ten. We're underrated because we're damn good. That's right, brother. We ain't good. We damn good. And if you didn't know it, you just got pimp slapped by DJ Pimp. Now, finally, for the Georgia fan base, Paul. I really dislike this fan base. I used to dislike LSU and Auburn, but I friggin' hate friggin' Georgia, Paul. I'll take that back. I'm not saying that I hate them, but if Red Dog was on life support, I'd pull his plug to charge my mobile, Paul. I ain't lying. You are a one-time champion. You're overrated. You don't even know how to celebrate a championship. There's an asterisk beside of it. And if you didn't know it, Georgia, you just got pimp slapped by DJ Pimp. You don't know what you know about me, because I'm the P-I-M-P. That's right. Me, Snoop Dogg, and 50. We out of here with the magic stick. DJ Pimp out, baby.
Whoa. Okay. Nick is up next. Hello, Nick.
Hey, Paul. So, you know, Winston Groom, I wanted to talk about your bracket, your call bracket.
Okay.
So Winston Groom was in my fraternity at Alabama.
Really?
Right? And if you remember this, he was a Dell. If you remember this, so the reason why they did not allow Robert Zemeckis and, of course, Winston Groom was a consultant on the movie, they didn't let them film at Alabama because they said that Forrest Gump never would have been admitted. So when I look at this bracket, probably about 90% of those people on there don't have a GED, let alone attended even one lecture class at the university. So maybe you could do like a shortcut for, you know, people that actually attended school there and maybe asterisk their name on the bracket, kind of make it a little bit more fair. What do you think about that?
I am going down the list right now and counting up people that I think have degrees. And I...
Well, keep counting. Yeah,
I've come up with three or four. Now let me say, I think, okay, I don't know, but one thing I've always been proud about this show is that you don't have to show proof that you have a degree from a university, nor do you have to show proof that you've ever been to that university to be a fan. I think that's why this program
has gone the
direction it's gone in terms of popularity. But I hear what you're saying, and that's fine. I knew Winston Groom. I didn't realize his lineage, though.
Yeah, so, you know, that Atlantic article, you know, that's Arch Manning, and that's that consortium is Ole Miss. So that's been out there for, you know, I love the whole smoke and mirrors thing. Like, no one knows what's in this contract. That's been out on the internet. And you know, I'm not a reporter, but I know that it's Ole Miss, and I've always said Alabama needs to step up and do a better job. Let me say one more thing, Paul. Bama is going to beat Notre Dame in this first round, thank God, and an SEC team will win the NCAA basketball tournament.
Yeah, Nick, I felt like Alabama caught a break by not having to play Rutgers. I just saw from a matchup standpoint, even though they lost to Notre Dame, they were a more difficult matchup for them than Notre Dame. I agree with you.
Paul, I'll tell you this. This Alabama team this year has been an enigma, and I think everyone knows that. And let me give one real specific point. I was an athlete at Alabama in track and field. Their conditioning, they collapse the last 8 minutes of the game. If you look at when they do that last timeout, a TV timeout with about 8 minutes left in the second half,
right,
that team completely comes undone. And it, to me, it's a conditioning thing. It's clear that Nate Oates can recruit, but there has to be something done on the conditioning side for this team to excel moving forward because they just run out of gas.
Thank you very, very much. Two games currently going on, and they are both blowouts right now. Carolina beating Marquette 85-55. Nobody saw that one coming. That was supposed to be a really tight game. And Gonzaga trailed throughout the game against Georgia State. They are now pulling away. They're up by 22 late. We mentioned Tennessee winning earlier by 32 points. Kentucky about to tip in a few minutes. Ben Hallen fired today by Mississippi State. Almost half of the SEC coaches have been fired. One changed jobs. We are heading to a break. More of your phone calls the final 30 minutes at 855-242-7285.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free, no insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/paul. That's hims.com/paul for your personalized ED treatment options. hims.com/paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
We are back, and let's look at a couple of brackets here for the moment before we head back to the calls. And the number, of course, is 855-242-7285. We have some news from the Feinbaum caller bracket. Miss Faye has won. Is that correct? Oh, Miss Faye has defeated Pat from Georgia. That is considered mild upset, even though the seating was different. And so Jim faces his crush babe, Miss Faye. K-Dub has knocked off the judge. There goes the judge. K-Dub beating Judge Chris from Raleigh. Augie from New Orleans has survived over Hugh from Deep Gap. And I mean Deep Gap. So here's the bracket tomorrow. Jim faces Miss Faye, 1 versus 11. K-Dub and Augie, that's a good matchup. And the beat goes on. So we'll these are some of the matchups tomorrow. Legend and Matt. There has to be a cut man to throw in the towel for Matt. We have Red Dog and John, Trey and Andre, Larry and the Swami. And back to calls. And Laura in Kentucky is up next. Hello, Laura.
Hi, Paul. How about them Vols?
They were impressive today.
Yes, they were. I've got a question. So why did Kentucky get a 2 seed and we got a 3 seed and we beat them 2 out of 3 times and we're the SEC champions?
Laura, there simply is no explanation for why Tennessee got a 3 seed. I think Kentucky deserved a 2 seed. I think the team that got overseeded was Duke. They didn't belong on that line.
Oh, okay. Well, I was just upset. I'm sitting in my SEC tournament championship shirt, and I just got and everything, and I was just mad about it because I don't like that nasty blue team.
I hear you loud and clear. Hey, thank you for the call. John in Plano, Texas. Hey, John.
Hi, Paul. Paul, the big sports news in the Dallas papers this morning was Joe Buck and Troy Aikman leaving Fox News to join ESPN to be the new Monday Night Football announcers. And I was just wondering, of course, it's big news here because Troy Aikman is a former Dallas Cowboys quarterback, obviously. But my question is if Troy Aikman was to call Paul and ask for advice about how he should deal with his new employer, of which you are intimately aware, you know, tell him the, you know, any potential minefields about who he should not alienate at ESPN, about how he can maintain maximum editorial control over his work product and otherwise get along, what advice would you give Troy?
John, it's a good question, but Troy Aikman will have no difficulty whatsoever navigating the waters at ESPN. That's for the poor folks like me who have to deal with things. He is, with his contract, with his name, with his ability, he will not have a difficult time at all. In fact, I think he's made a very interesting move. I don't know. I interviewed Troy when he was in college. I haven't really. I don't know him anymore. But I would say Stephen A. Smith would be the only guy I'd watch out for. Only because now somebody is making more money than Stephen A. Smith.
Okay. Well, I was just wondering what your advice would be, and enjoyed listening to your show.
Well, thank you very much. No, it's a really big move. But when you're at that level, you pretty much do whatever you want to do. You don't have to deal with the bosses like folks on this level. Trey is up next. Hey, Trey, good afternoon to you.
What's going on, my friend? You doing okay?
We are doing great, Trey. Thank you.
Hey, I have a question. Is a fart dust sniffer the same thing or the same person that has wind blown up their nostrils? Is that the same type of person?
It's a variant of that, but it's far more virulent than that. I think they're both.
They're both
dangerous. Yeah.
Well, I can agree with that. Hey, Paul, whatever happened to Fred from Plano, Texas, I guess? And I'm going up against Andre, and I ain't heard from Andre in a while. Is he okay?
Yeah, Fred's only called once or twice in the last couple of years. I don't know where he's been. Andre calls occasionally. We heard from him probably within the last 2 or 3 weeks.
Okay.
He's a truck driver, so he could be he could be doing the overnight route.
Okay. Well, Paul, I want to talk about Texas A&M in the basketball and Alabama in basketball, and I want to make a comparison here. I think Alabama, and I'm a Bama fan, I think they were seeded too high, and I'm not so sure that Texas A&M should not be in there or not, but it seemed like the committee was consistent because Alabama got seeded high for what they did at the beginning of the season, and Texas A&M was left out for what they did at the beginning of the season. Do you not agree with that?
Yeah, and I'll say it again. People don't realize, but these are basketball nerds that sit there and look at all the data, and they do not weigh what you did on the final week versus what you did early. They weigh it equally, I think. Now, I think you should weigh the end of the season because I want the team that is playing well at tournament time. I don't want the team to beat Gonzaga in November, but can't beat anybody now. So it does even out.
I totally agree with you. So I think Texas A&M was a much hotter team and was playing better than Alabama, and Alabama got a 6 seed.
Right. I agree with you
so,
on that.
All right. Well, happy St. Patrick's Day to you, my friend, and we'll see what's going on.
Thank you very much. Chip is up next in Nashville. Hey, Chip.
Hey, Paul. Thanks for taking my call.
Thanks a lot.
The big question is, why am I not on the bracket?
Chip, I am going to defer to the guys in the other room because I did not pick the I did not pick the callers.
Did not pick the callers.
No.
Okay. Well, it's been
Chip,
a couple
Chip,
of weeks.
Chip, let me
since
ask
I
you
called.
This: how often? When was the last time you called before today?
2 weeks ago on Thursday.
Okay.
So that's when I made a remark about Charles from Real Town. Y'all were trying to set him up with a date.
Right. I do remember that. Well, you should have been eligible because I will say this between you and me: there are a couple of people in the field I would not have put in there. And,
well,
and by the way, one of them has already won.
Really?
Yeah.
One of the opening segments has a woman talking about me on there.
Really?
Yeah. She said something about, well, Chip did something.
Well, Chip, my apologies because I – yeah, I outsourced this for a very small amount of money to the guys in the control room.
Well, if I knew that money was involved, then I definitely would have sent an envelope y'all's way.
Yeah, no, I told them to do it and to send the bill to their bosses.
Oh, to their bosses.
Yeah.
Well, I know they like that.
This is like, yes, we could still have like the NIT version of the Feinbaum bracket if you want to get in there.
Yes, that'd be fine.
Okay.
Me in an NIT,
okay.
That'd be great.
Hey, thanks, Chip. I feel terrible because I think Chip's been a really good caller. Let's check in with Ethan in Lexington. Ethan, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Paul. Thank you for taking my call.
Thank you.
I want you to know that I'm 90 years old, and I've become a little senile. The more Woodford I sip, the more senile I'll become.
That happens.
But But I've been a Kentucky fan since 43.
Oh, man.
And I've been an A&M fan for 3 years for personal reasons, so we won't go into that.
Okay.
But I just found out today, and looking at the brackets, that A&M very disappointingly missed the NCAA tournament. But the Mountain West Conference had four teams in the NCAA. The Mountain West had four teams, and three of them got beat today.
Three of them were gone before 2 o'clock in the afternoon out there.
You know, it's just unbelievable that people who know very little about basketball are on that committee, as John Feinstein very correctly said on your show several days ago. I agree. Politics and money. What I didn't realize was that CBS and the Big Ten, I forgot that they had a big contract there. And it's just disappointing for the players, the family, the coaches there at A&M that they got left out. That's all I wanted to say. And I enjoy your show very much. And go Wildcats.
Ethan, thank you. And you have inspired all of us. You sound great at 90. And we are envious of your good health. Thank you very much. We're happy with your good health, not envious. That was an incorrect statement there. We are officially out of time for this program. We appreciate all of you for being a part of it. Some really interesting guests today. We'll see you right here tomorrow.
Thank you for listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast. The Paul Feinbaum Show airs weekdays on the SEC Network beginning at 3 Eastern.